She is a digital marketing specialist who can spin the meanest website around.
And he's host of the TV show Buzz, which features nonprofit organizations receiving marketing makeovers.
Here on Buzz for Good, we talk all things nonprofit, the people they serve and the good they do.
And we talk to creative professionals and provide marketing tips and tools to help your nonprofit achieve more.
That's right.
Buzz!
Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Buzz for Good, our radio and TV show simulcast that we air in partnership with our friends at WFIR and Blue Ridge PBS. My name is Michael Hemphill, creator and host of the TV show Buzz that features nonprofit organizations throughout the Roanoke Valley and Southwest Virginia, the good that they do and the people that they serve. And along the way, we provide them with some marketing tips and tools to attract more donors, volunteers, and clients to their cause. In short, to give them more buzz. And the queen bee of buzz herself is my good friend here, Carrie Cousins. Carrie, say hello.
Hi, everybody.
And Carrie is the president of the American Advertising Federation of Roanoke and director of marketing at Lead Point Digital. Many thanks to everyone for tuning in today. If you want to stay connected with us outside of the show, visit our website, buzzforgood.com. That's buzz, B-U-Z-Z, number four, good.com. You can also find us on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and YouTube at buzzforgood. Many thanks to our partners who help financially underwrite this show, partnersinfinancialplanning.com, as well as Freedom First Credit Union, and they are at freedomfirst.com. So on today's show, we've got a great event that we're going to highlight featuring, it was a fundraiser for a local nonprofit that I got to participate in this week, Virginia Children's Theater. We're also going to introduce you to Friends of the Blue Ridge. You may have once known them as Friends of the Blue Ridge Parkway. They are now Friends of the Blue Ridge. We're going to talk about more about them in a second. Carrie, what do you got for us today?
I've got your no budget marketing minute.
Love no budget, especially for nonprofits.
It's fantastic. So we'll talk about something free that you can all do to boost your marketing efforts.
Wonderful. And we will have a few other little things that we'll sprinkle in along the way. I'd like to start off today's show by just talking about Carrie. What were you doing in the nonprofit world this week?
Well, I think the biggest buzz in this region heading into this time of year is the Blue Ridge Marathon.
Yes.
It is a huge event for our region, generating a ton of economic impact and bringing runners from all over the country and the world to this region. The Blue Ridge Marathon is put on by the Roanoke Outside Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit in this region that
Excellent.
Probably a lot of you know about.
Right.
The race is fantastic because not only does it give runners an opportunity to run an incredibly hard course, I'll be out there.
You're doing it.
I'm doing the half marathon.
Okay.
But it also gives our community a touch point to really get involved and show the rest of the country and all these visitors what a great place this is to be in. And that's through volunteering. I'm pretty sure the marathon could use a few more volunteers at this point if you want to get out on race day and not have to run up a mountain or three.
Real quick, when is race day?
Race day is April 16th.
Okay, so 2 weeks from today. We're broadcasting this on April the 2nd. So 2 weeks from today, Blue Ridge Marathon. I've heard it described as the toughest marathon in the country. Is that, or what is the tagline?
It's America's toughest road marathon.
Okay.
So it's as tough as you can get while still running on pavement.
Right. So talk about the course itself.
I mean, there are three mountains.
Wow.
If you run the full marathon, you're going to run Mill Mountain, you're going to run Roanoke Mountain, and you're going to run Peakwood. And if you've ever driven any of those places, you understand the challenge. So get out of the car and run it.
Right. I assume that you're not just running around the mountaintop and then driving to the next mountain and running around.
Oh, no. You're running from one to the next.
Okay.
But it's a lot of fun. And, you know, the spectators and the volunteers on the course as a runner make it worthwhile. It feels like a party from mile one to mile 26.
Nice.
And the support is wonderful. The Finnish Festival is great for runners, their families, their friends. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to see. It really is a community event.
Does it start and finish in the same place?
It does, at Elmwood Park.
Oh, lovely. Okay, okay.
So easy access on race day.
Yeah, that is nice. Lovely. I assume if you're doing the half marathon, that includes the uphill portion as well as the downhill portion, or do you just
can
run downhill?
So every mountain you go up and down.
Okay.
So the half marathon portion, I get to go up and down Mill Mountain and up and down Peakwood.
Okay, okay.
So two of three mountains.
How many runners are expected?
The race usually gets somewhere around 3,000 runners.
Wow.
Yeah, this year is, you know, the first full year after COVID, where we're really kind of back in this world where we don't have so many limitations and restrictions again. So it'll be interesting to see how many people kind of come out and about. The race was held last year, but you know, you still had a lot of fear with travel and whatnot. And I feel like the world has kind of opened up a little more again.
Yeah.
So it'll be great to see everybody out and about.
That is spectacular. I mean, these outdoor events and activities, really, that's kind of Roanoke's bread and butter these days. They've done a great job marketing outdoor amenities in our valley, and this is such a signature event.
Oh, and it's great. And, you know, not only is it the marathon is a signature event for the community, but this event gives back to dozens of other nonprofits in our community as well. So many of the groups that you see out there at volunteer stations, whether they're handing you water or goo or pickle juice or just holding signs to cheer you on, are all out there working with their nonprofits to help earn money for those nonprofits from proceeds from the race. So it's more than just a day of running. It's a day of complete community support.
Love it. You know, one of those nonprofits is Friends of the Blue Ridge, and we're going to feature a conversation later on today's show with Executive Director Julie Whalen. But yeah, I am excited about this event. I had actually had kind of forgotten that it was coming up. I think we're all still kind of coming out of COVID and realizing, oh yeah, there are events that we really look forward to. That's one. A couple months later, another signature event for our region, the Ironman. Are you going to be doing that one also?
No. That requires getting your head wet.
Well, that we'll talk about that later on down the road, because that's another great event that we're going to be looking forward to. But yeah, so Blue Ridge Marathon, April 16th. You'll be running in it. Are you participating in any other way as far as the promotion of it?
Not this year.
Okay.
I am just a runner this year, which will be fantastic. And of course, I'll be at Down by Downtown, which is the Finnish Festival music event later that evening.
Love
which
it.
Which will be a lot of fun.
Okay. If anyone is interested in finding out more about the Blue Ridge Marathon, is
BlueRidgeMarathon.com.
Easy enough. Easy enough. Okay. Fantastic. All right. So, so you've been focusing on that. I got the opportunity this week to go to a fundraising breakfast, which I know sounds kind of maybe boring for some, but for me, I was excited about it because it was, you know, one of these, again, we're emerging from the pandemic, we're going to in-person events that actually feature food. And I was really captivated by this event, which was put on by the Virginia Children's Theater. They just did a spectacular job. So a few little hints, I think, that are important when you're doing a fundraising event. Keep it to the time frame that that was advertised.
And so be respectful.
Be respectful. So they advertised breakfast 8 to 9, and it started at 8, and at 9 a.m. it was done, and you're ready to go. More importantly, I think, they featured so many of the people whom they serve rather than featuring the people who lead the organization. And that's really where a nonprofit's impact best happens, is, you know,
you can see it.
Exactly, right. And, you know, so rather than, I think sometimes egos get in the way of nonprofits' leadership, or really any organization's leadership, where like they feel as though the board president has to have a prominent role, the executive director has to have a prominent role. But in this one, yes, they had their little moments, but really the stars of the show were the children, as well as a parent who is being served by Virginia Children's Theater. And so while I was there, I was so captivated by what was going on that I pulled out my cell phone, I hit record, and I was able to record the good chunk of the presentation. And I did ask for their permission if I could use it on this show. They said yes. And so I am honored to present to you, our listening audience here, some wonderful moments from this week's Virginia Children's Theater fundraising breakfast. And here it is.
My name is Anna Locklear. I'm 16 years old. I've been with VCTU for about 2 years now. Yeah. And I live on a farm in Lincoln County, so I'm a little ways away. It's about a 45-minute to an hour drive. And I am this year's Sarah Beth Hammond Scholarship recipient. This is like in the form of a letter, because that's the easiest way for me to do it. Dear VCT, I don't even know where to begin with the thanks I can give. I cannot be more grateful for everything I have learned and experienced in the past 2 years. The opportunities I've been given and how much I've learned regarding my voice have been unbelievable. My experience with the community has been amazing as well. When I first joined YPE in January of 2020, I was very nervous. I was new, I didn't know anyone, but I was welcomed, and I cannot be more grateful for that. I truly don't know where I would be if I had not been noticed by Brett and joined VCT. All of my theater stuff would have come to a screeching halt if it wasn't for VCT. Y'all were able to do theater during a pandemic, even if it was outside in 100-degree weather. The first thing outside of YPE I did with VCT was help with the first outdoor summer camp, Moana Junior. I moved the big orange water coolers, sanitized kids' hands if they sneezed, and made a giant hawk. You have to believe me when I say that I was grateful for that. All the hard work in the heat, long days, long drives, it was worth it. It was worth it because I know that if I had not helped VCT with theater camps and auditioned for shows, I would not be doing theater at all. The community theater that I was and still am a part of is the theater department at Patrick and Henry Community College. So when COVID hit, everything was shut down. They've been only able to do 3 shows over the past 2 years with very small casts. All of the people I know and love got their theater outlet cut off. That is how I know that all the work was worth it. I also cannot express how much hope my story and VCT has given my community. The fact that I was able to come join a children's theater in Roanoke, am able to afford it, am able to make the drive, has given people hope. These kids I've worked with since they were little, or the friends I've made, have been given hope by VCT giving me the Sarah Beth Hammond Scholarship and by my story. My first session of YPE was completely paid for by a man who I did not know. We had a 50-50 raffle during one performance. We had raised $100, so that meant I got $50 towards the YPE tuition, and the raffle winner would get the other $50. The man who won gave back his $50 and donated another $100 to pay for my entire YPE tuition. Things like that give my community hope, and that man was a man who was part of my community. The people of Martinsville and Franklin County don't get the opportunities that kids get up here, but there is so much talent. I hope that one day all the talented children in my community will get an opportunity like the one I've been given with VCT. You have given them hope through me and through your partnership with PNHCC, and for that I am grateful. You have given me hope and showed me I still have so much left to grow and time to perfect my craft. You have given and taught me so much, and I cannot thank you enough. Thank you, VCT, for everything. Love, Anna.
Well, if Anna Locklear isn't one of the reasons that I am here today, I don't have one. So good morning. My name is Bryn Scazzari. I'm the Director of Education at Virginia Children's Theater. Thank you all so much for being here this morning to celebrate our organization. As I was preparing to talk to all of you about the programming that VCT has been offering this year, I took a moment to think about where we were August 2019, which is the month when I started working as the Director of Education, compared to where we are now. First of all, I would like to say that if you haven't sat down to compare in detail where you were 3 to 5 years ago, I highly recommend that you do because it is incredibly eye-opening. So, August 2019, in education alone, BCT has grown exponentially. When I started in the fall of 2019, we provided our community with 4 academy classes in regular rotation, 4 elementary public school residencies, which is a program that brings theater education to all 2nd through 5th grade classrooms in the city, 1 consistent outreach partner outside of Roanoke City, which at the time was reaching about 6 schools per academic year, theater camps throughout the summer and the school year, including an all-youth Kids on Stage production, Kaleidoscope summer camp for friends with special needs and abilities, and the occasional private lesson, or other workshop program. Now, 3 years later, we provide, since 2022, 6 academy classes in regular rotation, including Youth Professional Ensemble, which Anna is a part of, which provides a competitive level of musical theater training and preparation. 4 elementary public school residencies, with a 5th one getting ready to start trials so that we can start that this September for 1st grade, so 1st grade all the way through 5th grade. 2 consistent outreach partners outside of Roanoke City, which reaches approximately 17 schools per academic year. Theater camps throughout the summer and school year, including the all-youth Kids on Stage production, and multiple off-site outreach camps and programs. We have currently a high demand for birthday parties. Come hang out, it's a fun time. We also have offerings for year-round programming for Kaleidoscope. A moderately full vocal studio with regular students who are committed to honing their craft. A partnership with North Cross. And one of my personal favorites, the ARD Property Scholarship Program, which provides tuition-free educational opportunities to a current Academy student who shows great potential and character. Obviously, you can see that we have grown a lot. We have more classes, and so we have more students, which creates a need for more educators. Our education staff has tripled because Lord knows I cannot do this alone. So joining me in the education team of 2019 were a handful of teaching artists as needed. Now I am joined not only by our TAs, but Lana Huffington, who is our education associate, and a new outreach coordinator who we will be welcoming in June. Not only are we providing opportunities for the youth and families in our communities, but also for working theater professionals. Please forgive me if I'm coming across as boastful, but I am extremely proud of this organization and how we have been resilient during the last 3 years. Theater arts in particular have been presented with what have felt like insurmountable obstacles. And yet somehow our organization has found a way not only to survive the pandemic, but to thrive despite of it. I can't help but think that the success stems from the fact that as theater artists, we are truly able to say that we walk the walk. Lately, our profession has felt like a giant improv class, and so we are always alert and ready. We are prepared to solve problems in real time. We are overly prepared. We are efficient, and boy, do we understand what it means to budget. All of these skills that we present to our students, we understand that these are theater skills that are skills for life. It is these skills that we provide to our students so that they can continue wherever life takes them to be innovative, successful, and confident leaders. I am so proud of the educational programming that VCT offers to our community, and I'm especially proud of the youth who are a part of our ever-growing opportunities. They are incredible, resilient, innovative, kind, passionate, and courageous young leaders, and I can't wait to see what they do with all that they have learned. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Olivia Brown. I'm 15 years old, and I have been participating in classes, camps, and main stage productions with VCT for around 3 years. VCT has given me the opportunity to use a hobby that brings me joy to learn important life skills, to build lasting friendships, and to make an impact on my community. I've recently participated in the VCT for Teens program in a play about teen suicide, And seeing the impact that it had on our audiences, from kids that were ages 12 to 17 to all the adults in the audiences, was really special for me. And learning about mental health through this production has just been so beneficial in my life. VCT has helped me build lasting friendships. And these were people who I would have never met if I hadn't joined VCT and done the Frozen Junior Summer Camp in 2019, because VCT brings people from different schools, different counties and towns together to participate in what they love, theater. VCT has helped me build skills in time management and productivity and efficiency, especially when I'm doing my schoolwork, be more professional and be more confident in school settings and social settings. And VCT has provided a creative outlet for me during the pandemic, because it was really hard for me when I had to be separated from my friends and at home for long periods of time. It kind of felt like I had no purpose and I didn't know what I was doing in life. But when I was able to do camps with VCT, it was so beneficial for me to be around my friends and people who also love theater, and to just really work on my skills and improve my craft in a time when I thought that I was going to just be sitting around twiddling my thumbs. So I thank VCT for all the opportunities that they've given me, and for enabling me to become the performer that I am today. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning. I am the beaming mother of that young lady that just spoke to you. My name is Brandy Brown. I am just full of pride and admiration for her. As she was speaking, I was thinking just how proud I was. I didn't help her with that. She came up with it all on her own. You'll see that as you see that I am not as polished or as professional as some of the other speakers that you've seen this morning. But I am here to share about how VCT has impacted our family and our, especially Olivia. So I'm married to Greg, and together we have three children, Olivia, who's 15, Miles, and Cyrus, who are 10 and 9. Because of our involvement with VCT, our whole family is just exposed to art and theater and experiences, literature that they may not have otherwise been exposed to. So that's been really beneficial. As far as it goes for Olivia and myself, VCT has helped us through the scholarship that she has been the recipient of, through life skills, and also socially. So I'm gonna talk about each of those just a little bit. So through the scholarship that Olivia has, she's the ARD Property Scholarship recipient, and Ms. Bryn spoke about that. That scholarship was such a timely and needed blessing for our family. I had COVID in November of 2020, and I am a long hauler. I have not been able to work since then. You see me tremoring. It's not because I'm nervous. It's because I have tremors, I have twitches, lots of neurological issues with the long COVID. Prior to her receiving the ARD scholarship, we received financial assistance, okay? So I would apply, I would send Bryn all the information about This is our income, this is our output, and we qualify for financial assistance. And that was so helpful. But then suddenly we went from two incomes to one. And you know, the first thing you do is you cut out the unnecessary, the things that can go. We gotta keep our lights, we gotta keep people fed. But theater is not, something that we had to have in order to live. So the timeliness of the ARD property scholarship for Olivia to be able to continue in participating with VCT has just been, it's been amazing, really. Like she could not have continued to participate without it. And so we are eternally grateful for that. Next, I'll talk about the life skills that Olivia has developed and honed as she has been a part of VCT. She has improved. She's a good kid, okay? So, like, I don't want to say, like, she started nowhere and now VCT did all of this. Like, I'm going to take some of the credit, okay? But she has developed in her accountability, in her responsibility. The things that Brett said really resonated with me, because Olivia, I can tell, like, takes that to heart. You're gonna give your 110%. And I see that in the way that she responds to the assignments she's given or the roles that she's cast in. She puts all of her effort into doing her best in whatever the situation is. She also has improved her communication skills. I make her communicate with the people who are in charge, instead of me communicating with them primarily. You know, I'm like, you need to let them know A, B, C, or, you know, so she's taking ownership in that communication. And I just feel like sometimes I don't want to make professional phone calls or send professional emails, because it's like people-y, and I just think, like, I'd rather not engage in that, you know. But she is doing the hard work of engaging with the people that she's accountable to, and it's really helped her to grow in that area. Finally, I want to talk about her social skills. Not really social skills, but like social emotional impact. Okay, Olivia spoke about the pandemic and how being able to continue with VCT through the pandemic was beneficial for her. And that is especially, she went from me being concerned about her being, depressed, to being flourishing again. And I directly attribute that to VCT and the experiences and opportunities that she was able to have. Also in the social emotional aspect is the VCT for teens. I was teaching prior to becoming sick with COVID. And I brought my middle schoolers to see one of the VCT for Teens productions about social media. It was really impactful. It was fantastic. They enjoyed it. You know, we learned a lot. Next year, then the 2 years after that were both about suicide. I struggle with depression and anxiety, and so those plays, not only were they meaningful for like Olivia, but they were really meaningful for me. And it was like, thank you for speaking about something that's such a taboo subject that, you know, no one wants to say, like, oh, I'm going to a psychiatrist appointment, you know, but like, that's where I am. I mean, that's where I am in this stage of life. So like breaking down the barriers, I guess, and the having the difficult conversations has been super beneficial for us. And coming up, the next VCT for teens is about racial issues and equality, and we're super excited about that. We come from a biracial family, and so being able to have that idea of acceptance and equality is something that I'm really looking forward to. Like, I cannot wait for the next VCT production. So I'll end by saying that, like, I am truly so proud of Olivia. I'm biased. Like, I think she is the bee's knees. Like I really think she's awesome, right? We have high hopes for her future. But no matter what, like, the skills that she has gained from participating at VCT, the friendships, the life lessons, they'll go with her always. And no matter what she achieves in life, which I know will be amazing, those skills will carry her through it. So thank you. Thank you.
To get teared up about various things and get emotional, but this is really my why for what I do with Virginia Children's Theater, because I'm really not a theater person like Wade. I enjoy some theater, but I can't identify the musicals that all my co-workers sing around the office. Somebody said, "You've never seen a High School Musical?" And I said, "No." but
we can change that.
What puts me in my happy place is hearing from our students like Anna and Olivia. I'm just so proud of them, and it's almost like they're my children too, and their parents as well. You know, I heard Anna say, "All the travel was worth it," and I guess I would say to Sherry, "Sherry, is all the travel worth it?" Because we know you're really, they're right there with her. Our parents dedicate a lot of their time to the students. It's a commitment, as you know, and so we are also very, very grateful for our parents and the rest of, and the siblings too, who all come to the shows. I am the director of development, so you know what that means when I stand up here. You all do have some pledge cards on your table. But what I really want to say to you is that if you heard something this morning that's new or that moved you, the best thing you can do for Virginia Children's Theater is to share that with somebody else. This is really about us getting out into the community and letting them know what we have and what we're doing to impact kids in the Roanoke Valley and even beyond that, because we didn't even mention our statewide tour that we do every year. So tell your friends, tell your family, tell your coworkers. If you have a child, grandchild, or you know people who have kids who would like to perhaps enroll in a class, we'd love to have them, or a camp. Buy tickets for our shows. We had a wonderful review several years ago from the Roanoke Times that said, "Virginia Children's Theater isn't just for children, it's for everyone." We have professional shows that we have adult ticket holders who come and see them every year too. So please don't think that because we're family friendly that you're not gonna like us. We don't take our clothes off or swear, but we're still fun. We would love for you to become a part of the VCT family. This is my coping mechanism for when I get all teary about emotional stuff. I crack jokes. Now, the last thing I'm gonna do, we're gonna send you all out on a very happy note and have Anna and Olivia come up and do a performance for us. All right.
So this is my favorite part, where you get to see all the things that we're talking about and see them right here in front of you. These are two very special young ladies who are a part of our scholarship programs this year, and they will be performing for you I Will Never Leave You from the musical Sideshow.
Event that really is the way to handle fundraising. Bravo to them.
Yeah, bravo. I mean, I was ready to give them a standing ovation. I know they're used to standing ovations whenever they put on a performance, but I mean, this fundraising breakfast was spectacular. So I hope that if you are ever in charge of an event, that you were making notes there, because they did a wonderful job. Now, speaking of the Virginia Children's Theater, we are at Buzz are currently working on an episode that will air on Blue Ridge PBS. It's premiering April the 13th at 7 p.m. on Blue Ridge PBS. And it features a collaboration between Virginia Children's Theater and Tudor House. Tudor House was founded in the tragic aftermath of Lewis Tudor's suicide death 2 years ago. I played a lot about Lewis Tudor and Tudor House on last week's show. So if you're, you know, just listening into it now, you could go to our podcast, Buzz for Good, and you could listen to last week's episode that features some great interviews with the people behind Tudor House. But they did a wonderful collaboration earlier this year. We are featuring that on Buzz on Blue Ridge PBS, April 13th, 7 p.m. And we're that night also going to have a community watch party at the Grandin Theater. So if you want to come, it's free, open to the public. Come to the Grandin Theater on April 13th at 7 p.m. and join the friends and fans of Tudor House and Virginia Children's Theater and watch our episode featuring their collaboration. They did a wonderful job, and we're really excited to be part of that. All right, Carrie, my favorite part of the show here, as always, as it should be for any nonprofit, is our no-budget marketing minute. What do you got for us today?
So today, my tip is pretty simple. It's an extra way you can use Google to get more exposure for things happening at your nonprofit, from events to promotions to fundraisers. So almost every organization under the sun has a Google My Business page.
Yep.
It's that page that shows up when you Google a business name. It's right there on the right-hand column of Google. It probably has your address, your phone number, your website, a map to your business location. But what a lot of people don't realize is you can actually post updates to your Google My Business page just like you would on Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn.
Before we get to that, so how does the Google My Business typically search? I mean, is it searching your social media when you type in a search, say, for Buzz for Good? Is it pulling out Buzz for Good's Facebook posts or Instagram?
It's not pulling anything. So you actually have to go do it, which is why it's important to add it to your cache of items, right?
Okay.
So once you've claimed your Google My Business page, it's a pretty easy process. You can post on it. And you go in just like you would on Facebook and you say, I want to create an event. So if you are the Blue Ridge Marathon, for example, you can go in and say, event, create event, Blue Ridge Marathon, time, date, place, put a picture up. And now all of a sudden, Google can now see that in a different way. Mm. And it shows on your Google My Business page.
Okay.
If you are hosting a fundraiser and you want people to know about your upcoming fundraiser, you can post the link to your donation page from Google My Business and say, hey, our upcoming fundraiser is happening now. You can donate here, put a picture and link to it. So using it as an extra almost social media feed makes it easy for people to see what you've got going on, what updates your organization has, and everything that's happening with your business without ever having to leave the search engine. So Google My Business is a fantastic extension of your website that can actually help get more people to your website and to your events because you're giving them one extra nugget of information.
How cool is that? Now, would you change it up? Like if you've already done a Facebook post of something, would you run the exact same post on your Google?
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
Okay.
So the one caveat is if you're running something on your Google My Business page, it has to link to your website. So you can't link it to your Facebook page.
Okay.
You have to link it to your website.
And I have on my phone Google My Business app that allows me to do that posting. Where would you go on if you were on a desktop?
You can just Google My Business
and
log into your account.
Okay. And you could post photos, you could post text,
video. Almost anything that you can post on other channels, you can post there.
Now, it seems like another platform I've got to manage in addition to the Facebook and Twitter, if you have that, or LinkedIn or Instagram. So is it worth it?
It's 100% worth it because it shows in search results. So you are getting in front of people before they get to you, right? Like it's like a preview of what you have to offer. The way I would think about it is don't feel like, you know, with Facebook, you feel like you got to post every couple of days. Put something with a long lifespan on Google My Business.
Okay.
A lot of nonprofits run annual or long-term campaigns and fundraisers. Post those types of things and it'll sit there on that page the whole time. The updates stick there until you update again. So if you do some more long-term stuff on your Google My Business page, you don't have to update it weekly, but you are updating it enough so that it's current.
Love it. Love it. And once again, how much does Google My Business cost a nonprofit?
It's free.
Is it free for any organization?
It is free for everybody.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for our latest installment of No Budget Marketing Minute. If you are interested in connecting with us outside of the show, speaking of social media and connections, we actually do have a Google My Business account with Buzz for Good. We're also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram, and YouTube, where we host all of our previously recorded shows on PBS, all at Buzz for Good, Buzz, B-U-Z-Z, number 4, Good. Our website, buzzforgood.com. Reach out to us and let us know what you think of the show, and if you have any marketing challenges for your nonprofit that we can help answer here on Buzz for Good. All right, and next up on the show, I want to introduce you to a nonprofit that has actually been around for 33 years, though in many respects is very new, and that is Friends of the Blue Ridge. So for its first 33 years since its founding in 1988, it was known as Friends of the Blue Ridge Parkway. And in early 2021, it decided to embrace a larger mission of helping out the communities all along the Blue Ridge Parkway and throughout the Blue Ridge region of Virginia and North Carolina. And so it became Friends of the Blue Ridge, just a wonderful organization. Full disclosure, I do some freelance marketing for Friends of the Blue Ridge, but just a great organization that I've had the privilege to be a part of. Here in my conversation with Executive Director Julie Whalen, she shares kind of the history of the organization and what they have been doing last year during this pivot to their new mission and the plans that they have moving forward. One of the initiatives that they took last year was to help other nonprofit organizations throughout the Blue Ridge region. And one of those was the Junior Appalachian Musicians, AKA JAM, just a great name for a great organization. Junior Appalachian Musicians comprises chapters all throughout Virginia and North Carolina and Tennessee and West Virginia, introducing to children and teenagers the beauty and the skills associated with bluegrass music and Appalachian music. And so they are going to form the soundtrack, if you will, to my interview with Friends of the Blue Ridge Executive Director Julie Whalen.
I'm Julie Whalen, and I'm the Executive Director of Friends of the Blue Ridge. I grew up in South Texas and lived most of my adult life in the Midwest, so I never had experience with mountains. And we moved here about 8 years ago, and all of our lives have been impacted by this region. The beauty, the people, the opportunities, it's just a place that we're really proud to call home. So Friends was organized in 1988, and for over 30 years, we functioned as Friends of the Blue Ridge Parkway, with our mission being support to the National Park Service and their work on the Blue Ridge Parkway. For that length of time, we assisted primarily the maintenance staff doing projects and work days to supplement their staff, and really our impact was allowing the professional park staff to elevate their task list, where we did lower level jobs like mowing or trash removal, graffiti removal, trail maintenance, to really make the visitor experience something special. So Friends is a membership and volunteer organization. So the members of Friends financially support the work of the organization, and that primary structure is 8 volunteer chapters with just over 700 active volunteers. So they each represent a stretch of the Blue Ridge region, starting in the Waynesboro area on down to Asheville. They each kind of have a designated section where they're looking for ways to impact those communities. Starting in January of 2021, we shifted our focus away from solely working on the Blue Ridge Parkway to now looking for opportunities within the communities along the Blue Ridge Parkway where our volunteers work and play, and it's close to their hearts. So they are identifying projects in their communities that align with the mission of Friends, so looking for environmental preservation, historical, cultural projects to be a part of.
Keep on shining. Shine on the ones who's gone and left me blue.
So during our first year of our new focus, we spent some time really figuring out where we could have the most impact given our greatest asset being our volunteer structure. So they took time to identify projects in their communities and came up with a list of just phenomenal things that they accomplished. Starting up in Waynesboro, the chapter there helped fund and provide volunteer support for a natural playground in conjunction with the Blue Ridge Children's Museum. They've done free concerts out at Explore Park. They still volunteer with community events like the Blue Ridge Marathon and the Ironman. We were also event sponsors for Ferrum College Folklife Festival that they host each fall. During the spring, we also partnered with JAM, the Junior Appalachian Musicians. They're headquartered out of Galax, but have youth music chapters in several of the Blue Ridge communities. And we showcased the young musicians along with kind of the history of music in the Blue Ridge region, and were able to have that run on PBS.
My name is Graydon Shepherd. I'm 12 years old and I'm from West Jefferson, North Carolina. And I've been playing the fiddle for 4 years and the guitar for three. I was inspired by Doc Watson, Wayne Henderson, Helen White, and people like that who have really brought the Appalachian music to life.
I'm Jim Lloyd. I'm program director for Junior Appalachian Musicians. We're knocking on 55, 56 chapters in four states now and teach close to 3,000 kids a year.
My name is Carly Hamm. I'm from Ashe County, North Carolina. I'm 13 years old and I've been playing guitar for around 7 years and mandolin and bass for about a year.
I hope to continue playing music, passing it down to other younger kids who want to learn this tradition. Hopefully I'll learn some more by then and keep learning after that. Being a professional and performing a lot is one of my biggest dreams. Even though I have other dreams set aside, that was my number one dream as I was growing up and still is today.
My name is Logan Thompson. I'm from Glade Spring, Virginia. I'm 14. I've been playing banjo for 4 years and bass for about a year and a half. I heard Ralph Stanley play. I just like listening to Ralph Stanley. My favorite place to play at is Jim Lloyd's Barbershop Rural Retreat. In my future, I'd like to travel the world and play music.
Logan is one of the best banjo players I've ever taught. The kid is just a complete natural at it. He's gonna go far. He's just an amazing kid.
Down in the Hillsville and Galax area, that chapter is tackling a lot of things. They were the first chapter out of the gate to really run with the new focus. They are working with the historical society down in that area who is working on the restoration of the Sidna Allen home. The chapter is tackling the outside work there. They've installed a pollinator garden for visitors to enjoy. And this spring, they're getting ready to build a gazebo on the grounds that will mirror the architecture of the home. So there'll be more outdoor experiences for visitors of that home as it's being restored. They're also working with the town of Hillsville and the Friends of Hillsville with an inclusive playground down there. They're providing funding support and volunteer support to install fencing around a playground, as well as tables and benches and trash cans. They're also evaluating possibly building a pavilion, so families utilizing that playground really have the comforts to enjoy their time there. Down into North Carolina, we have chapters that are looking at doing tree plantings to preserve some land that is just adjacent to the Blue Ridge Parkway to help with erosion. They're looking at doing trail maintenance and trail improvements, trail building, as well as partnering with local parks and recs to do Greenway and Blueway cleanups. So really, our impact is expanding from Waynesboro down to Asheville. While members and donors are a huge revenue source for Friends, another significant one is the license plate that we've had in circulation here in Virginia since 2012. It is an iconic looking plate if you've seen it riding around. It's got the yellow sunset over the blue mountains, and we are in the process of updating the design so that it now reflects our new focus. But the funding from that license plate really is central to the impact that we're having in these Blue Ridge communities, from the playgrounds to the free concerts to what we're hoping to do in the future, which is establish a scholarship fund for students in the areas where our chapters are active. They can identify students that are going to pursue environmental science studies and offer some scholarships there. To continue and expand offering free concerts into different Blue Ridge communities. And really, the sky's the limit. So the license plate is a huge benefit to the organization and really allows us to have all of these opportunities available to us. So with springtime, it kind of our activity level starts to pick up with our chapters and our volunteers. So April 9th out at Explore Park actually kicks off our first of three free concerts out there. April 9th, Saturday, from 3:30 to 5 out in front of the Brew Tavern at Explore Park. Friends will be hosting the Shoebies for a free concert. There will also be a concert July 16th and September 17th. So we hope people come out and enjoy a little bit of great music in a great environment and have a fun afternoon. Students graduating in the spring of 2023 will be our inaugural Lynn Davis Friends Scholarship Award winners. We'll start promoting it the next coming academic year and identify those students who will be graduating in May who hope to pursue studies of environmental sciences. Look at yourself, I know you run down sucking in a worn out shoe, and let me be your salt dog. We've also just begun planning an event we will be hosting September 23rd. We're calling it the Blue Ridge Jamboree and hope to offer the community a variety show that showcases music, storytelling, and the history and culture of the Blue Ridge region. And we will be hosting that at the Jefferson Center. If you want to find more information about Friends, you can visit our website at blueridgefriends.org. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram, as well as Twitter. 2021 was a pivotal year for us as an organization, and what our volunteer and our loyal membership base have allowed us to do is phenomenal. They've taken what could have been a really tough situation and turned it into something fantastic. And the impact that we're going to continue to have in these Blue Ridge communities is really just getting started. Let me be your salt dog, or I won't be your gal at all. And let me be your salt dog.
Wonderful. So, Friends of the Blue Ridge, great organization. Part of Blue Ridge Marathon. So, Carrie, thank you again for sharing with us all about the Blue Ridge Marathon. Again, stay connected with us throughout the week. Reach out to us at Buzz for Good on a variety of social media channels, as well as buzzforgood.com. Thank you again to our sponsors of this show, Freedom First Credit Union at freedomfirst.com, and Partners in Financial Planning, partnersinfinancialplanning.com.
Thank you all for joining us this week on Buzz for Good, and thank you WFIR for hosting us. If you want to listen to this again later, you can go listen on YouTube or track us down on social media at Buzz for Good. Thank you.